This year we're studying about a biblical worldview. You can hardly have a biblical worldview without believing that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Unfortunately, there are fewer and fewer people in this world who believe they need to be saved in order to go to heaven. In fact, more and more people do not believe heaven exists. And if there is any kind of salvation that man needs, it's more on the order of what man can do for himself than what he needs God to do for him. There's a man named Stephen Hawking. Now, he's a pretty intelligent person, if you've ever heard of him. He holds exactly the same position in Cambridge University that Isaac Newton held back in 1663. He's a world-renowned physicist and has become famous for his work on black holes out in the far reaches of space. And in his observations, he has come to some remarkable conclusions. Now, he also is confined to a wheelchair, and it's necessary for him to speak through a computer. And so that gives context to what he said, quote, "I have lived with the prospect of an early death for the last 49 years. I'm not afraid of death, but I'm in no hurry to die. I have so much I want to do first. I regard the brain as a computer, which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark." So this very intelligent man has come to the conclusion there is no heaven. Years ago, a man named John Lennon wrote a song. It was called Imagine. Once in a while you hear these songs in the store, whatever. Never looked at the words. Came across this. Here's what he said in the song, and how many millions of people sing the song. Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. You say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine there's no heaven. Well, people from all walks of life are coming to the conclusion that there's no heaven. And people in this world are therefore concluding that there's one of two things we need to do. Some are of the school of thought that we need to save ourselves from social ills, which is primarily intolerance. What we need, as John Lennon sang in his song Imagine, is world peace. Mankind's failure to get along with one another is something from which mankind can save itself by creating world peace. With some kind of social redemption, humanity will live forever, not individually, but collectively. You see, the individual isn't important. It is society, the human race, together that's important. The other school of thought is that the only way we can save ourselves is to escape the planet. You know, we're doomed to destroy our planet someday. I read this. Our home planet will not be habitable for much longer. Did you know that? As our sun gets older, it will get larger and warmer, eventually leading the Earth to become uninhabitable. Due to anthropogenic climate change and other variable factors, we don't know exactly when human life will become untenable on Earth, but the conclusion of the study is pretty clear. Our time on the Earth is finite, and we better find a way off it sooner rather than later. And you understand that that's the reason for so much space exploration, is to find a habitable planet where we can escape and go to and maybe be better than we were here on Earth. The problem is, mankind cannot save itself. Man cannot bring about world peace. It will never happen. Man cannot escape to another planet. That really is a fairy tale. Mankind cannot find a fountain of youth or conquer death or heal the wounds of our own souls brought about by our own foolish defiance of God's righteousness and glory. Would you turn to Luke chapter 17 and verse 33 and see what God says about man saving himself? Luke chapter 17 and verse 33. Luke chapter 17, verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. That's the bottom line for humanity. You seek to save yourself, you lose your life. Would you go over to John chapter 4? Jesus encountered a woman. And by the way, salvation is individual, not collective. God saves individuals. And so Jesus spoke to a woman about the condition of her life. You remember, it was the woman at the well. He asked for a drink of water, and they began to discuss the matter of drinking water. And Jesus, in verse 10, John chapter 4, in verse 10, said this to the woman, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." All this raised some questions in the woman's mind, and she began to speak to him of these things. And Jesus, again in verse 13, says to the woman, "Whosoever drinketh of this water that she was offering him shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And then he began to speak to her about her personal life and the failures in her own life and the shortcomings and the sins. And it began to have a tremendous impression upon her. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And then he says in verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman answers back in verse 25 and says, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And she got it. She went into the town. She told everyone about it. She says in verse 29, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And with her impassioned plea to the people in the town, they came out to Jesus. And it says in verse 30, they went out of the city and came unto him. And the entire city of people in that Samaritan town were so amazed at Jesus Christ that they came to this conclusion in verse 42. The people in the town, speaking to the woman, said, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Jesus is the Savior of the world. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14 is another place in the scripture where it uses that same statement, the Savior of the world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." The word Savior means one who rescues from danger, or one who delivers from the penalties of condemnation. The penalty we face is the judgment of God because of sin. The danger of destruction we face is the pit of hell and the lake of fire. So if Jesus is the Savior of the world, how did Jesus save us from condemnation and from hell? First, he bore our sins in his body on the cross. Second, he suffered on the cross with the weight of all that sin. Then he shed his blood to pay the ransom price. And then he died and was buried in the grave. And finally, he arose from the dead, triumphant over sin and death and hell. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." It is by his resurrection that he saves us. It is by his resurrection that he delivers us from the judgment of God. It is the power of Christ's resurrection that extends to everyone who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ. Would you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21? First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." It is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we all are made alive. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 makes the point that, and other scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ conquered sin by his death, but he conquered death by his resurrection. If Jesus Christ only died and did not raise from the dead, we would all be miserable. Because the resurrection is the completion of salvation for mankind. It is by his resurrection that we are made alive. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world needs to know that Jesus Christ arose from the dead and by that became the Savior of the world. But God also wants each of us as believers to understand the power of his resurrection in our lives. Would you look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. The apostle Paul was willing to sacrifice a great deal to have the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And in that sacrifice of his heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is one of the things he wanted to know, and all of us should have the same burning desire to know this in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I, as a believer, should want to know the power of his resurrection. Why? Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That is the power of Christ's resurrection, giving us the ability as people on this earth to walk in this present life in the power of Christ's resurrection. Look at the dismay of people's hearts who have only the hope of world peace, who imagine there is no heaven and the only salvation for mankind is for all of us to get along. What do you think the possibility of that really is? Or imagine the despair of people's lives who think that this planet is going to self-destruct and our only salvation is to build some kind of a spaceship and go out and find another planet in the universe where we can inhabit it and survive. How likely do you think that is? Only in the movies. But we are not trapped in that bondage. We who are in Jesus Christ know there is a place to go. And we don't need a spaceship to get there. In the resurrection, we will be glorified and transported in the twinkling of an eye across the vastness of the universe and be in the presence of Almighty God. We can live now in that power of that resurrection because of the hope that lies within us. We do not have to live in despair. We don't have to worry about the dangers of this world and fret and flutter about how people just don't get along. We have the peace of God that passes understanding in our hearts. We can walk every moment of every day in the power of his resurrection. And I want to tell you, folks, that will get people's attention. If we were to truly live and walk in the newness of life, in the power of Christ's resurrection, we could have a tremendous impact upon a lost world. The world must be made to understand that it needs to be saved. That means it cannot save itself. The world needs a Savior. And the world must be made to understand that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior they need. If we walk in the newness of a resurrected life and show the world what Jesus Christ can do as a Savior, because he has done that to us, we have the opportunity to link this world to the power of Christ's resurrection and to the only one who can save them from sin and death and hell. If you have not yet believed and trusted Christ as Savior, we invite you to do so today, because I assure you, in his resurrection, he has the power to give you eternal life. And if you have believed, will you commit yourself this day to walk in the newness of your life in Christ from this day forward, in the power of his resurrection, in the hope of what is to come, in the joy of what is ours in the present, in the marvel of who God is, and in the wonder of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, and by that testimony, bring people in contact with the power of his resurrection, which is the power of life for anyone who will believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have sung to your glory and your honor this day and rejoiced in the resurrection of our Savior. Many of us in this room, we trust all, but many of us in this room for sure have experienced the wonder of salvation. Lord, instill us with this power of the resurrection, that we might walk in that newness of life that will draw other men from their lost estate to trust in Christ as Savior. And Lord, if there is anyone in this room at this moment who has not trusted Jesus Christ, I pray that in this moment they will hear the words of your scripture, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and he can and will save them if they will trust in him. Bring that soul that is nearest to hell to faith in Jesus Christ this day. And thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.